So it's a Wednesday, which means it must be time for Portsmouth Radio 5-0. My buddy's back in the house.
I brought friends.
You did. You brought lots of friends.
Like three friends.
Yeah. We got all three members of the police commission. This is a huge honor for me this morning. I get to meet all of you all at once.
It's a huge honor for us.
Right. So I'm joined in studio by the Morning Joes. Joe Anaska and Joe Playa, and as well as Brenna Kavanaugh, who serve on the police commission here in Portsmouth. You guys have had a lot going on. Get a new police chief to be named here at some point.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks. We're winding down in that search. We have six candidates coming in on Friday. Actually, tomorrow. The interviews will go ahead on Friday, and I'll let Commissioner Anaska take the lead on that.
Yeah, just quickly, how long has this process been going on? Like, when did this start? Cause it seems like it's been...
I think we started last September. We had the International Association of Chiefs of Police, two of their reps come up here, do extensive interviewing across the city. City Hall members, our elected representatives, citizens, the business community, various community outreach groups, and then we got to 62 or 63 candidates overall.
Wow. Yep.
We reduced it in March to 17 semifinalists. We poured over all 62, and then the 17, and now we're down to six.
Wow.
Wow.
And three are from Massachusetts, and we have one from Texas, another one from the state of Washington, and the sixth one from Florida. And three of them are currently chiefs of police. And then we have one who's currently a captain for the city of Tampa. And we have the... assistant chief of police for all of the city of Seattle.
Wow.
And then finally, a lieutenant colonel, which I think is like number two or three for the entire command of the state, Massachusetts State Patrol. So I think we're benefiting from idyllic Portsmouth. I encourage the citizens to take a look at our brochure on the website. It's a town to be proud of. And a lot of people, I think, would like to live here, as you know. And so we got some excellent candidates coming in.
Wow, so 62 to start with. That's a lot to sift through. Were you guys anticipating that? I mean, is that... I haven't necessarily been through this process myself. So is that, the norm that you would see, or...
Yes, when it's advertised on a national level like it was, we anticipated 50 to 100... applicants. When we advertised for a deputy chief a couple of years ago, we did get around 50 before that process was halted. I find it interesting. I follow a lot of police commission news nationally, and Honolulu has received about 36 to 40 applicants. So Portsmouth is attracting more candidates than Honolulu.
Yeah. Top 10 place to live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very and there cool. must have been some huge resumes. Like, I'm thinking about when I've applied for jobs, it's like one page resume. These, candidates must have been a lot to go through. And
the surf is
competitive.
Better. Definitely out there. But, and warmer. But
so what's left in the process, before we decide who's going to be?
So
next chief.
Basically, on Friday, we have five total panels that for the interview process. There's the IACP panel, which will have three IACP reps, as well as three chiefs from the area. The Hampton chief, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting everybody's names, the Dover chief, and, of course, former Chief Magnet will be on that panel. There'll be our panel, which are the three commissioners and Chief Mara.
Yeah.
There's the citizen group panel, which, many will be represented from three citizens from some of the neighborhoods, but also Seacoast Mental Health, for example, and Crossroads and Pro Portsmouth.
Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. Youth sports. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice cross section. So is that three groups we've
that's
mentioned so
three
far?
Three of the groups. Another group will be... the city leadership, the city manager, city attorney's office, school department, fire department, all those department heads, public works will all be represented there.
And the elected representatives, right. City councilors, fire commission.
It'll be, yeah, exactly, fire commission, and then Councilor Dwyer and Assistant Mayor Splain will be part of that group.
And then the last one is the police department itself. So you'll have all three unions represented.
Right.
And the four lieutenants. The captain would have been there, but just happened to fall on Captain Warkel's vacation, so he won't be there. So five total groups. Four of them are advisory. We'll get feedback at the end of the day from all four of the other panels. And then the police commission with, strong advice from Chief Mara, who we respect enormously.
Yeah.
And then we'll hope to make our decision. If it falls out easily and quickly and all the panels agree and the feedback coming in is pretty clear, we could make the decision as early as Friday night.
Right.
And if not, mm-hmm. we'll make the decision on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
Right.
And then there will be further vetting of our number one. And then we have to have a backup just in case the further vetting reveals something tawdry. Mm-hmm. And then we'll, get into negotiations and hopefully have our new chief here by mid-June, which would allow for a one-month overlap with Chief Mara. And so we'll have a seamless transition where we get our new chief July 13th will be his first day on the job leading the department by himself.
This is pretty like precedent setting. I don't know if you know the history, Megan, but I don't think I've ever heard of a chief process like this for Portsmouth. So what was, just maybe in comparison, what was the old process? Just go before city council and the chief was picked? I mean, this is pretty amazing to me, you know?
I think historically in the past couple of decades, the chief has come up through the ranks. I believe the last time they went outside was when Chief Burke was brought in from Los Angeles. And you'd know better than me, Detective Novelski. Was that 20 years ago, perhaps?
It was before my time, and that was 15. So, yeah, and I think before Brad Russ.
Early 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, like you said, it is precedent setting. It's been done, you know, with a lot of deliberation, and we wanted to do it correctly. That's why we vetted the organizations themselves very thoroughly. We interviewed many different recruitment agencies. We went with IASAP, and
did we say what that was? The International Association's Chiefs.
Talk about that in the beginning.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
The International Association of Chiefs of Police is very thorough with their process, and they take this very seriously, as they should, and we have the utmost confidence in them. So that's why this has been, you know, a one-year process, because we've wanted to do it correctly, because it is such an important milestone for the department and for the city.
Right. And I think as well, to point back to after a few short months, we really, really had the utmost confidence in Chief Mara and really liked what he was doing in his role as chief, so we didn't want to rush this process, and that's why we went in front of city council and told them we'd like to keep him on another year. Initially, he was only supposed to be here for 6 months, but he was doing such a good job, we thought it would be better to stabilize the department for another year prior to going through this process, and we've had a great, as we said last spring, we made our interim chief a permanent chief. We feel we've had the, you know, best permanent chief possible for the last year and a half, and it's time to move forward now.
Yeah, and the reason we can't keep Chief Mara is because he is already
retired.
He's retired, and the state retirement system requires that an individual not work more than 32 hours a week, and
right.
So we needed to move beyond and. The hope going forward is that we can hire within the ranks, maybe as soon as the next chief after the incoming chief.
Right.
We're kind of frustrated to hear from IACP that the average chief lasts about 3 years. Mm. We're assuming that because Portsmouth is such an attractive town, And frankly, I'm going to, you know, also compliment the police department. That we got a heck of a staff, and we're all hoping that this new chief will stick around for 5 years, and that's going to be one of the litmus tests that we're going to check out, make sure that this person isn't coming here to engage in any kind of retirement behavior, and is really committed to moving it on.
Yeah.
And
I think one of the things that I appreciate for this whole process is the level of community involvement that you guys are bringing to this process in terms of all of the organizations that are coming in and are part of these panels that are going to, I mean, it just shows, you know, the police department isn't just one small area. It affects all of these other pieces of the community, and they all have to work together. So I think I totally appreciate that they are all a part of that process.
That was a very important piece of the process for us. We wanted to engage the community and get everybody's input and move forward with this decision, not unilaterally as a commission, but with a broad amount of input from the community. And to piggyback on your statement, Megan, about how the community's been involved in the process, it's important to recognize that the commission also mandated that the new chief does establish residency in Portsmouth. We want the new chief to be not only the leader of the department, but we want him to be a resident and be seen at the grocery store, be seen at the transfer station, and really be deeply involved in the community inside and outside of work. So that was very
important.
Welcome
to our world.
Right.
I had that first meeting with the panel, the IACP, and I remember walking in. I go, look no further. I'm right here. They're so funny. They're really good. Been very, very thorough.
Well, and to that statement, too, I know that is not true for every town in terms of a chief. That's not always stipulated that the chief has to be a resident.
It's important. Yeah.
No, it's not just stipulated. And I don't know when the last time we had a chief who actually lived in Portsmouth was. And I look
Magnet, I think.
Yeah, that was what, 10 years ago, maybe?
It's got to be 12 now. Yeah.
So, you know, we understand the challenges of housing in Portsmouth and the prices. And we recognize that it's expensive to live here, but
I'm sure you got to pay well. We don't have to worry about that.
but
it's the accessibility to the public. It's absolutely true. They should be able to
necessary.
Walk out to the grocery store and say, hey, this is good about your department. This is not. And have that one-on-one face-to-face conversation without having it to be so formal.
I agree.
You know?
Right. Well, and one of my messages in working with the police department and having Rochelle in here every other week and that sort of thing and introducing people is that, you know, being able to carry on a conversation and have that discussion with members of the police force, chief and or otherwise, you know, is so important, you know, that there's an approachability there, you know.
The transparency.
We're all humans.
Yeah. His Walmart trips are it's going to turn into like an hour.
Right.
My husband's like, I'll see you in 3 hours when you go to work. But I don't mind because, I mean, I'd rather people want to talk to us than not, you know.
Right.
Well, and all three of the commissioners really ran on a platform of transparency.
And you all live in Portsmouth. So
and
it's like
we have tried very hard to make this process transparent and everything we do transparent. When we got together in January of this year, how long? We've been working on the bylaws. We found out that there were no rules or procedures governing the police commission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now we're up to how many rules?
We have 40
something. 42 rules
like that
really establish in a code of law, essentially, procedures that ensure that the commission operates in a democratic, transparent way. And we're very proud of that.
Yeah.
And just all the transparency we've engaged in. And bringing in Chief Mara and reorganizing the department, there's now accountability from top to bottom, bottom up. Prior to that, we're not sure how that accountability worked. There are now annual evaluations. So we've reduced the number of management positions at the top. It was a top-heavy department. That came from an independent
org study,
review back in 2008. And so we've reduced the top heaviness to the department. We now have 30 officers in the field. And we're really proud of the direction this department is headed. And the impression we get, and Rochelle, you'd know better than we do, if the morale in the department is better.
Yeah, it's better. You know, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, yeah. But, you know, there's definitely, you know, it's a lot of change.
So
a lot of better change.
So now what does this mean for you as an officer and like your role in all of this as a new chief is coming in?
You know, it's usually you kind of just sit back and see, you know, what the personality is going to be and what the changes are going to be. So that's one thing that's been very consistent in the last, you know, it's kind of like the joke around the department is like, that's been the most consistent thing is that there's going to be more change. So I think, you know, but I think everybody's kind of conditioned to that. It's like, okay, here we go. You know, we've had a lot of different chiefs in the last few years and, you know, we're prepared for that. And I think a lot of times people think that, you know, we don't like change. It's not always bad. And if it gets us to where we want to be, then, you know, then that's where it gets us. But I'm just speaking for myself mostly. So I have one question. Yeah. Who is the deciding factor? So you all make the final decision?
The police commission.
That's correct. Ooh.
Wow.
Yes.
Yep.
There isn't like...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. You don't just put the names in a hat and close your eyes and pick.
No, I think we're definitely going to value the input we get, but ultimately, absolutely. That is advisory, and ultimately the final decision will be ours, collectively as a body.
And we're... The buck stops with us. I mean, we're ultimately responsible for the new chief's actions and philosophy. Correct. And you know, we don't anticipate a lot of change. At least I can't speak for the other commissioners, but I have no interest in another chief coming in doing a reorg and everything else.
Correct. Go ahead, Commissioner Cavanaugh.
I want to point out that, as Detective Novelski mentioned, this department's been through a tremendous amount of change. That's, as she said, that's the one thing that you can expect is change. And I don't know of any other department in the state that has encountered so much change in such a brief period of time, you know, the past few years. And it's been so impressive to see the men and women of the department continue the good work that they're doing. And despite all of the changes and publicity, the department just, you know, they march on. The men and the women have just been so impressive in dealing with the change. And we don't want to affect that further. We don't, you know, like Commissioner Nosko said, we hope that the new chief will continue the momentum so they don't have to endure too much more change.
Correct. I mean, that's going to be one of the things we've discussed from the beginning. We're going to look at that in the interview process. And these candidates are going to know that we expect them to continue the work that has been done by Chief Mara. That's the direction we wanted this department to go, and that's the direction we still want it to go. I know that every new chief, he's probably going to come in and have something that he needs to put his stamp on, and that's understandable, as long as it's in the same direction we're going now. This is the way we want the department organized. This is the way we want it going. We want the community policing that's been established to remain in place, the community outreach like this show.
Yeah. All right.
And PPD
all right,
TV.
Because so. I was going to raise
the radio
stick.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You'll never be welcome.
I mean,
back.
That's.
Well, let's. Well,
I mean, think it was in the. It was in. Yeah. It was part of
the
interview process.
It was part of the application. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, the radio show stays as long as we get to come on
once
in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't know what I would do without the Morning Joes. You know. Well, I appreciate, first of all, you guys coming in, all three of you, this morning and talking about this. I wish you guys all the luck in the coming days as you go through this process and really dive in and figure this out. And we look forward to hearing the announcement here in the coming weeks. Maybe
how will
early
we find
as
out?
Next
Email?
Week.
What?
Yeah. Text message? Go. Smoke signal?
Yeah. What's three circles?
Is it like the bat sign?
We're three circles, know who Washington, it is. Two circles, Texas.
I think most likely, as a respect to the department, we would notify the department first via email. And then there would probably be a press release, probably that notify the city government and the counselors and the department, and then a press release. So we haven't really discussed the intricate details of
it.
But can you do it on Edge Radio?
Yeah. Drum roll, please.
I'm gonna tweet it.
Yeah. And you can be assured that our world-class reporter, Beth Dinan, from the Portsmouth Herald, will be
absolutely
on top of it. And I mean that. She has been terrific over the last, and heroic and courageous over the last 4 years. covering PPD matters. And so Beth Dinan will certainly be informed.
So get the exclusive?
Yes.
Yes.
Good luck with everything moving forward.
Thank
Lots
you.
Of news
Thanks
to come.
For Thank having you. Us on.